America's ready to get back to work, but to win in the new economy, you need every advantage to succeed. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite lets you manage every penny with precision. You'll have the agility to compete with anyone, work from anywhere, and run your whole company right from your phone. Join over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to make it happen. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 actions businesses need to take now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Golic. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Golic. That's netsuite.com/Golic.
Hope your Wednesday's off to a good start. Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And then the Pugs join us on the Couch Performance Line. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. Lot to get to this morning as we're sort of working our way through what we're calling the NBA doctrine of return. 113 page. They're calling it a memo.
They're calling
to
it
us,
a memo.
113 pages can't be a memo.
Nope.
It's got to be longer than that.
Nailing 100 pages right to the front door at Disney
can
World.
Can it be a doctrine? Here's the definition of a doctrine. A belief or set of beliefs held and taught by a church, political party, or other group. Now, this is another group in NBA, but it is a belief or set of beliefs. I guess it's really not beliefs. So are people going to get us on the semantics of the definition of doctrine?
You think anyone dumb enough to listen to this show is going to negotiate the difference between those two things?
Good point. Like, it's a doctrine.
They're okay. Listening to us. Like, we are not, like, listen.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that we're dumb.
Yeah.
I'm saying that I think the people that listen to the show understand that we're dumb and we're not going to get a lot of that stuff right. And they just go along with it because you know what? They're good, kind-hearted people who want the best for us. And so they understand that when we say doctrine, we just mean it's a lot of pages we're not going to read all.
But there are incredible details in those pages, including some things which are very important, like what happens if someone tests positive,
right.
Or how you clean a basketball. Dave McMenamin put up that part of it on his Twitter, which was incredible, just to clean one basketball, how they're going to go through this. And then there are the really like minutia details, like Woj saying what you can do with ping pong and what you can't do.
Yeah,
with
no
ping
double,
pong.
No doubles in ping pong. But there's, you know, lounges. All the teams are staying in 3 different resorts. They'll have access to like fishing, golf, restaurants, and other activities as well. What's interesting is again they have to decide by a week from today whether they're going to go or not. And remember, there's no discipline if you don't go. You just don't get paid. And the other interesting thing to me is once you're on in the supposed bubble, you can leave. I mean, you're not mandated to stay. Yeah. If you want to go somewhere, you can. But when you come back, you have to be quarantined for 10 to 14 days. So you're going to miss those games and not get paid. So I highly doubt people would want to do that. There are some excused things for you to leave if you have, you know, a death in the family. They said a wedding plan, the birth of a child, if the team needs to send you off campus for medical assistance, things like that. But you can just go if you want to, but it would cost you.
Well, and I think that's the one thing is so much of this was associated, and that's why people bristled at the idea of calling it a bubble as opposed to a campus environment, is because feeling locked in and feeling trapped in there was something that kind of made a lot of guys recoil a little bit. And so now you see, all right, if my family is really going through something, because we said it's the value of how much missing a game or two is potentially worth for you, and there's a real monetary tie to that. If something happens to your family, if there's something you need to leave for, you're gonna have the ability to do so. And so I think that, I would imagine, has to assuage a lot of fears for guys that thought, I'm gonna be trapped here without the ability to leave.
Yeah, and again, one of the other things that I thought was really interesting about this is that the in the bubble environment that they're going to be in, you have a traveling party, essentially, of 37 people.
Right.
It is the players, the support staff, PR people, a content creator.
Gotta have that.
Yeah. But the other thing I thought was interesting, the NBA said, listen, this is going to be stressful on you physically, but it's also going to be stressful emotionally and mentally. And they're basically urging teams either to bring a mental health professional with them or make telehealth, conferences available for players who might feel restricted and have anxiety. And the NBA has been very much on the forefront of dealing with mental health issues. We saw a couple of years ago both Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan open up about the mental things that they've had to face. And I think that's a real part of this, and I'm glad the NBA is sort of acknowledging that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, well, hell, we're in one gigantic mental health experiment going on.
Sure are.
Basically the world right now and dealing with a pandemic and how everyone internalizes all that. And these guys are going to go into another very adverse situation in that regard. And that's interesting. So Adam Silver was on the SportsCenter Return to Sports special on Monday. And he talked about what this return means and mentioned it is a lot more than just the finances of it. It's a lot more than just what we think.
We put on NBA basketball. We think that for the country, it'll be a respite from enormous difficulties people are dealing with in their lives right now. And I also think in terms of social justice issues, it'll be an opportunity for NBA players in the greater community to draw attention to these issues because the world's attention will be on the NBA in Orlando, Florida, if we're able to pull this off.
Listen, there's media around professional sports all the time anyway. Think about this unique situation of everybody now being in one spot and the media coverage and how they're going to do it, obviously from a social distancing thing, but still they're going to get the media coverage to still say and however they can act upon things they want to do from the social injustice side if they choose to do so. So it will be interesting with the Avery Bradley, Kyrie Irving, Koch partnering in this coalition of other players who may not be so cool with going down and playing while, and it may lose momentum for the social causes they are trying to fight for right now. So they want to hear from, and I wonder what you'll hear from, because again, it's a week from today when players have to decide if they'll hear enough to say, okay, we feel good about forgetting what the players can say and or wear and or do down in Orlando. What are we hearing from the owners? Just kind of like the NFL. You know, if players and fans let's hear from the owners. I think that's what Avery Bradley and Kyrie Irving are saying. Okay, we know what a lot of players think, but what are we getting from the league and the owners here?
And what are we getting is the key. The platform is great. We want your money too. We want your money. We want your resources. And we want your commitment to addressing the things that we think can make meaningful change.
And the NBA and many owners in the NBA have certainly been very much about that. In other situations, so you would expect them to be listening to their players and hear what they have to say and act on that going forward. So that would be great because we're in this new normal of not having a lot of sports. The idea of the NBA returning to a lot of people, to what Adam Silver said, would be comforting. It would be nice to see because we're all doing things differently, including the ESPYs.
Yes.
The ESPYs are presented by Capital One. They're going to take place this weekend. And we got a chance to talk to Titus O'Neil recently, the WWE superstar, and we asked him about the prestigious honor of being nominated for the Muhammad Ali Humanitarian Award at the ESPYs on Sunday.
Yeah, very prestigious honor, and especially considering Muhammad Ali is my all-time favorite athlete and humanitarian of all time, just because of, you know, what he stood for, what he was willing to lose. His flair, his entertainment, his skills, just everything involved about the man, especially growing up as a young black man in America, wanting to have, you know, figures on television that you could look up to, for more reasons than one. And Muhammad Ali just definitely is at the top of that list for me.
Yeah, hell of an athlete to look up to. And for your career, I know you played football at Florida, played in the Arena League for a few years, and now obviously a star in WWE. So along the way there, when was it and where was it and how did you decide, you know, how you were going to give back and get involved?
Well, I've been giving back my entire life. And a large part of that is because I am a recipient of people giving back to me. I'm a product of a rape. My mother was raped at 11 years old, had me at the age of 12 against the wishes of many. I was labeled a kid that would be dead or in jail by the time I was 16. And I believed that for a greater period of my young adult life. And then I went to a place called Florida Sheriff's Boys Ranch in Live Oak, Florida. And it was there that place, you know, not only gave me a safe place to be, but it also gave me a place to grow. And it was the investment of others that invested in me when they had nothing to gain in return that gave me an opportunity to become a high school, first-time high school graduate of my family, first-time college graduate of my family, and the list goes on and on. So for me, it's been since I discovered at a very young age that I had the ability to help change people's lives, even in a small way. You don't have to have a ton of money to do that. Sometimes it's just giving somebody a helping hand, you know, moving groceries to the from the car to their house or whatever it may be. It was just instilled in me at a young age simply because I saw my mom give to single mothers when we didn't have much to give ourselves. You know, we were trying to figure out what we're going to eat and if the lights were going to be on, et cetera. But I would see her consistently give to others in need. And it was just that's my first role model. And if people are asking where my giving spirit comes from, it comes from having a mother that had me at a very young age against very unfortunate circumstances and made something out of our lives.
And an incredible role model indeed for so many. And just as you have been, and you mentioned being a role model, especially growing up as a black man in this country. And we know the recent events that have gone on and really heated up since the murder of George Floyd. So I'm curious for you, as you've watched the country maybe start to listen a little bit more, how has that been for you to process everything that you've seen over the last really month or so in this country?
Well, it's, you know, that you have so many different sides of the table, you know, trying to figure out a solution or having an opinion. And, you know, I've never been against peaceful protesting. I have always been against anything that promotes violence, whether it be through a protest or just a random act of violence. So the violence and the looting I've never been down with, but I understand the anger of the black community. For years, we've been, you know, considerably told that we were less than, and we've had to build ourselves up. You know, my mom had to build me up, my brothers up, you know, constantly that, you know, you are beautiful, you're strong, you're intelligent. You know, when we would see images, negative images of us on television. And so I'm glad to see so many corporate people, public and private, start stepping to the table with statements. But we've had conversations for years about diversity. We've had conversations, you know, here recently, the key buzzword has been inclusion. Now it's time to set all this stuff into action. And that's really what I'm looking forward to doing, hopefully helping. You know, I'm not a political guy at all. I believe in bringing people together. And a lot of times politics and religion usually separate folks one way or the other. It doesn't make one bad or the other, one or the other bad, but I just want to get people in a room that have, you know, a common interest in making this world a better place. And in order to do that, you have to sit down and have some very uncomfortable truths. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of those that are in white America that have kind of turned a blind eye to certain things that now have to, you know, acknowledge certain hurts and certain dangers. And like I tell everyone else, you can't change the world, you know, if your house is dirty itself. So I want everybody, all the corporations, to look from top down, top to bottom, to see, you know, where have we failed as a company? Where have we failed as a team? Where have we failed as an organization? And acknowledging talent and raising and cultivating talent, not just based on race, but also based on their ability to get things done. And nobody can ever get anything done without having an opportunity. So fortunately, hopefully, this is what this action and all this stuff that happened with George Floyd and many others will lead to, is more opportunities for people to truly live this quote-unquote American dream. Because for many in black and brown communities, it's been an American nightmare.
Absolutely, and it's examples of people like yourself and people like yourself willing to bring people together and try and make change. It is part of, again, we're talking to Titus O'Neill, who is up for the Muhammad Ali Sports Humanitarian Award at the ESPYs. This ESPYs discussion is brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care. Today and every day, care makes the difference.
Titus, just as you said, you have two sons. It feels like we're at an inflection point in this country where people are finally listening and understanding about the experiences that you have had. Can you share with us some of the things you've had to tell your sons that many of us, including the three of us sitting in this room, probably never had to have those conversations with our fathers about the way we need to be careful?
Yeah, well, I posted something on Instagram a couple of weeks ago. It was a very real and raw moment for me as I was sitting in the car. I didn't sleep well at all the night before because of the situation that happened with George Floyd, and also kind of playing back stuff that happened in Georgia in my mind. And just, my son turns 16 years old today. My oldest son turns 16 years old today. So me being excited as a parent that grew up poor, didn't have much of anything, being excited about giving my son his first car, also staying up till 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning looking at dashboard cameras for my son's car. I'm almost positive that 95 to 99% of my white counterparts never have to worry about whether or not they put a dashboard camera in their kid's car. You know, their biggest concern, which was my biggest concern and has always been my biggest concern, is their safety. You know, will they go out and wreck the dang thing? But just having to constantly sit down and have the talk, you know, with my kids about race and bigotry in this country, and them seeing movies, you know, with me multiple times. I mean, even as recent, you know, when they see us, of just seeing, constant things on film that depict what happened, just imagine the realities of what happened when those things happen. And so it is a very tough situation, but at the same token, you know, I don't try to ostracize my kids from different races or whatever. We live in a mixed community. My kids go to private school where most of their kids there are very affluent. They deal with certain things there as a kid. So I wanted to put them in that school, specifically at Berkeley Prep in Tampa. Actually, Tom Brady's been working out over there too. So I guess it's not that bad of a place at all. Putting them there so that they'll be prepared to deal with, you know, what I feel more equipped to deal with white America and America as a whole. Being around people that have, some people don't have, and treating everybody the same, whether they're a millionaire, multimillionaire, or whether they come from poverty, we're all equal. You know, I treat everybody the same, treat everybody with dignity and respect. And they know we have three rules in my house. The first rule is love and respect everybody you come in contact with. You won't agree with everybody. You won't even like some of them, but you love them and you respect them. We don't use the word can't in our family. And be your best is the third one. You know, as long as you're being your best, nobody can, you or anybody else can ever be disappointed. And so that's the message that I think my kids take home, take out into the world every single day, is first and foremost, be respectful and demand respect for yourself. But you can't demand respect for yourself if you're out being disrespectful, if you're not treating people fairly, if you're not talking to adults, then yes, sir, no, sir, regardless of what color they are, you know, it's just a genuine respect thing. And anybody that knows my children know that they're two of the greatest human beings that, you know, I'm very fortunate as a father, to have two sons and have the opportunity to raise two sons. When I didn't have a father myself, I didn't have a manual. I mean, you guys have kids as well. There's no manual to how to be a great parent, but there is, you know, there's definitely some trial and error. And unfortunately for black fathers, we have a lot more trial to deal with that has nothing to do with error. It has everything to do with, you know, things that come from the past and things that are ingrained seemingly in our country. But I don't think, you know, and I don't preach my kids, like, all white people are not bad. All police officers are not bad. If an athlete goes out and does something stupid, that doesn't make all athletes dumb jocks. It was just, you know, it's just unfortunate, you know. But change, I do truly believe, is coming. And I want to be a part of that change. I want my kids to be a part of that change. That's why I'm not against them going out and being involved. And if they want to protest, go protest. If you want to post stuff, you know, on your social media pages, post that. If you want to have small, you know, discussion groups with your friends, over to the house, that's fine too. You know, just I think conversation, the more truthful conversation that people are starting to have, is going to give us an opportunity to truly grow in this country. Because in order for us to be the greatest country in the world, as we like to boast as Americans, we have to learn first and foremost to start being the best people in the world.
And that is why.
At home.
Yeah, no question. That is why Titus O'Neil is a finalist for the Muhammad Ali Humanitarian Award at the ESPYs. The ESPYs are presented by Capital One. Titus, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your wisdom. Best of luck with the award this summer, and thanks for being on the show today, okay?
Thanks for having me, man. Maybe I'll see you in Connecticut again, Trey.
Love it, Titus. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
be
Titus.
Well.
Thanks, Titus.
What an incredible person.
Incredible story.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
great.
Where he was born, how he was born, being brought up, and what he's taken out of that, and what he's passing forward. You know, it's really, really encouraging. You understand why he's up for the award.
Absolutely. And I had a chance to work with Titus at a Special Olympics thing here in Connecticut. Hopefully get to do that again. We should mention the other finalists for this award, for the Muhammad Ali Sports Humanitarian Award presented by Dove Men Plus Care. The finalists are Nelson Cruz of the Twins, Kevin Love of the Cavs, Devin and Jason McCourty of the Patriots, Maya Moore, who basically gave up her career to fight for social injustice, and, of course, we just mentioned Titus O'Neil. All right, coming up, the NBA bubble plan is set with its manifesto, its doctrine, its 113 pages, but how do you keep that bubble from bursting if you're a head coach? We'll talk to someone who raised some really legitimate concerns about it. We'll get to all of that after this.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
So much to get into in that doctrine, as we've called it, the 113-page memo. Memo just doesn't seem enough for something
right.
That's over 100
memo
pages.
Memo seems short and sweet.
Right. Yeah. A memo is like, yeah, take a note.
This isn't short and sweet.
This is very long and very detailed, and there's so much to get into in how the NBA is going to pull this off with the bubble environment, campus environment at Disney World in Orlando, with the return of play beginning at the end of this month and starting up at the end of July. So for more on all this, we have the perfect guest for this. We're delighted to be joined by our NBA analyst and former head coach in the NBA, Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff, we appreciate your time this morning. And I was listening to you about a week ago on Spain and Company, and I thought you made some really interesting points as a head coach. Before we get into any of the protocols and all that kind of stuff, which is remarkably detailed and intricate, but just the struggles of a head coach in this environment. You said something on that show, how am I going to keep my players engaged? That's a real challenge for a head coach with this sort of quarantine situation they're facing, right?
Oh, without question. If you look at the championship caliber teams having to be there 3 months. I don't know about you guys, but I was going nuts in semi-quarantine at home for this amount of time. So just imagine what these teams are going to go through where you're not allowed. You know, think about it. No family, no friends, no chances for fun, and absolutely no familiarity. Their lifestyle is going to be changed 100%. You know, they're used to staying in Ritz-Carltons, coming and going as they please, flying on charter jets, and now you're going to be at Disney in hotels with very little, from what I understand, flexibility to live a normal life. It's going to be a huge challenge.
Jeff, now let's remember, as Disney employees, these resorts are fantastic.
They're wonderful.
They're going to be staying. They are going to be staying in three different resorts, all the teams, and to your point,
the average person, yes, but these guys are not average. They're not expecting average. As far as they're expecting, their just whole lifestyle.
Yeah,
it's just, as you know, Mike, it's just different. It's just, you know, and you combine everything that they're going to have to try to navigate, and I don't care how many pool tables you bring in, ping pong tables, you know, open mic nights. You know, you're going to have to think of all those things. But it's going to be I am concerned. I think the players are right to be concerned about how restrictive this environment is going to be.
And you mentioned championship teams. There will be four teams that will be there past, I believe it's the 67-day mark. So they'd be pushing on those four teams the 3 months or more being there. So, Jeff, as far as from a coaching standpoint, you mentioned some of the activities they could do. Would you try to take up more of their time with basketball activities or let them be more? I mean, could you kind of figure which way you may go there?
Yeah, I think that's a tough decision and one you're going to have to read on a day-by-day basis because they may be bored in the situation. They may even be more irritated by you and you overexerting yourself into their lives for, you know, 3 months. Think about it. Now, when you're on it with a normal team in an NBA, you're going to be around them probably 4 hours a day, you know, practice, meetings, whatever it may be. Game days would be a little bit more, obviously. But this is going to be where you're going to, you know, run into people on their off, what would normally be their off hours. And I just remember this from Summer League in Vegas. We were there for Vegas, you know, all these opportunities to have fun. You're there probably 2 weeks, and you can't wait to get home. I mean, you're dying to lose in the Vegas Summer League, so you're ousted, so you can go home.
And I'm sure there's going to be some guys, especially the ones on the teams that don't think
right, have a chance.
That's what we've heard of is a lot of the teams that believe they're on the fringe and might not have a chance in all this. But Jeff, we've also heard from players like Kyrie Irving and others that have started to voice concerns about the effect that they can have on the current, movement for social justice in the world going into this. If you're a coach right now, what is your communication like with your players on this subject?
Well, I think you do have to be in constant communication. I think that's normal, though, that you're going to have things crop up and have to address. And I think the more directly you confront it, this is a little bit different in that you can't get everybody together at once. So you're having to do it individually. I think it makes it more challenging to keep everybody knowing what everybody else thinks. You know, because the conversations can't flow naturally back and forth between multiple members. But it's something certainly you have to address. And I think every coach is going to have to understand some players may be unwilling to play for any different reason. I don't think you can become too judgmental on those reasons. And then secondarily, some players may have that do come because they want to collect their money, may have different levels of enthusiasm for participating. And that's where, as far as a coach, you either want somebody completely in or completely out. You know, if you don't feel like you can give it your all, that's fine. But you can't have guys half-stepping and expect to be successful.
Jeff Van Gundy with us. So Jeff, there's so many moving parts to this. And again, you've talked about how you keep the players engaged. I mean, the NBA is encouraging each team to bring a mental health professional as part of their traveling party or have telehealth conferences available to these players. You know, and when I look at all the things that are going on, and some people are like, well, it's just going to be a run up to this ridiculous false premise of a championship. I think it's actually going to be way more difficult to win the championship in this environment than would in a regular run to the finals where you have, like you said, the luxury that they're used to, the travel that they're used to, the off days between games in the postseason that you normally have. All of that is going to be so condensed, you could make a very compelling argument this might be the most difficult championship to win.
Yeah, I think, to me, guys, this is like a different season. I think, for me, the 19 and 20 NBA season is over. This is totally different. This, all you're bringing from the 19 and 20 season is your roster and your record. Other than that, everything is different. I don't think you can think that there's going to be carryover. You don't know. You don't know differing health issues. Some teams may have improved with the time off to get their health back in order. Others may have sustained an injury that we don't know about or have dealt with the coronavirus and are a little bit compromised. So this is different. As you said, it's completely different. To me, this is 2020 Summer League. This is going to be like this extended Summer League championship with incredible amount of obstacles in each team's way. And I am going to be very much interested in how the teams navigate it. I hope we have cameras behind the scenes following all this. I think it would be a fascinating documentary because I don't even think the coaches or the players can totally picture what they're about to go through.
In each one of the traveling parties, there's going to be a content creator there. Yeah. I think for that specific reason, we may be having an NBA season and creating one of the best 30 for 30s at all times simultaneously. Jeff, we appreciate your insight, your experience, and your thoughts on this. Be well, be safe, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, take care, guys.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I would find all the best spots where the bass are. I fish those lakes there on property, and that's one of the activities they can do. Man, I'd be trying to find the monsters.
I mean, isolation. I mean, how do you – it really is a fascinating study in human condition.
There's part of me – are we overplaying this? Is this
– Oh, hell yeah.
Is this – does this sound horrible? I mean, in all honesty, I get the COVID thing and the testing you have to do. But just take the fact that just saying we're going to be somewhere, four teams for, over 2 months, the rest of the teams, some will be gone soon, not too long after they get there. Are we overstating this? This isn't a horrible thing, is it?
It isn't. It's just different. And that's, right. I think that's the point Jeff is making. It's going to be a shock to their system. Like, for example, I had this ridiculous class in college. It was a psychology class and it was called group. And we literally sat in a room for an hour and a half, three times a week, and we could only talk about things that happened inside the room. And we all kind of went a little bonkers. I mean, it was a sort of a study in psychology and how it affects you. Cause we're like, what do you mean we can't talk about anything that happened on the outside? We could only do it in here. And we all went a little crazy. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
I think we're starting to overplay this one. Personally.
That's because you're relaxing in your house with a pug on your lap.
That's true.
If you've got a family that's going to maybe be affected adversely by COVID going forward, if you've got very real concerns about all the social justice and all those things.
Understood.
But if you're the mean in this and you're someone who has those concerns but not at the level that's going to keep you out of the bubble or anything like that, and if you're a young guy in the NBA who's single, doesn't have a family yet or anything like that, I'm not gonna lie, I read all this and I went, can I go?
Yeah.
Like I live by myself in an area that, while I've got room to move outside, doesn't have nearly the amenities that are going to be offered at a Disney World resort like this.
But you come in crying every morning about how depressing and lonely your life is.
Yeah, it's because I have to hang out with you guys, not because of being alone.
Boom.
It's going to be a fascinating psychological study. That's all I'm saying. We'll see how it plays out, and we'll see how many players. Again, a week from today, they have to inform the NBA whether or not they are going. So that's the NBA situation. Coming up, the NFL is still planning on playing. And we're going to rank the AFC South. And the real question is, does a Rivers run through it? We'll get to that.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dentist to actually believe you?
And you're flossing every day.
Absolutely.
Great. And you're cutting down on your sweets?
Of course.
Wonderful. Then I don't even need to look in there.
Great. See you in 6 months.
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
The power rankings. It's Trey Wingo's power rank. Go.
Yeah, I like football season and all the things that go with it.
Trey's top three, or something like that.
The most ridiculous title of all time.
I am sweaty.
I don't like the way you just blatantly disrespect the list I put together every week just for your entertainment and consumption, Senior.
I can't wait.
Liar.
He's excited for the list.
Yes.
Dude. All right. Fine. We're doing it.
Okay.
We're doing this every
week. What made you choose AFC South this time?
Evan and I said, you want to do the AFC South? I'm like, yeah, okay.
Okay. I just wonder if there was any.
There's not a lot of thought that goes into it.
Sometimes we just, for everybody out there, we need to pull back the curtain just to show you there's nothing there.
We're big dumb animals.
Yeah.
There's no way around.
There's really no deep thought.
We want to do division previews in June, so we're going to do division previews in June.
And that's it.
Because is the answer.
It's that simple.
There was no meeting for this.
There was a slight 7-second conversation between two people, but that was about it.
Okay, so we have four teams in each division, though this is Trey's top three, so in no way, shape, or form will we say the number four here, so let's go.
Here we go.
Number three.
And they're number 3A because I only couldn't put them any lower, which would be the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
I mean, not a surprise here, right?
I mean, they're doing everything they can, right? As far as getting rid of players and such and not bringing in quarterbacks. So I hope Minshew Mania
We all love Minshew Mania. We all love George Power. We do.
I hope he has a monster year, but we know what they're somewhat trying to set up for here.
Yes. Look, basically, if you just look at the quarterbacks alone in this division, you have to put Jacksonville fourth. And then you have everything else that has gone on. And they are the only team in the NFL schedule that's currently not favored in a single game for their upcoming schedule.
Wow.
Yeah. The odds makers. I think not one.
I think so much of that has to do with the defense. Because you look on paper in the offense, there's some intriguing weapons in there. You added LaVisca Chenault out of Colorado, which is...
I love their draft.
And, like, just in general, the receiver room there, like, you go him, DJ Chark, Chris Conley. Like, there's good guys in that room. Gardner had some success last year. That offensive line's got good pieces in theory. But defensively, we know what they lost. We know the disgruntled Yannick Ngakoue situation right now. You're banking on a lot of youth in that group on defense for one that we remember only a few years ago was one of the more dominant in the NFL. So you can't absorb that much change and expect to come out of it on the other side.
2 years ago, they had a 10-point lead in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots in the fourth quarter in Foxborough.
Seems like a decade ago, doesn't
Crazy. It? So, listen, they're only 3A because they couldn't be 3F. Right. Next.
Number three on the list. Stay with me.
And Golic and Wingo is presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. The Texans join us at number three.
Ooh.
Listen, you can't just give away DeAndre Hopkins and get a running back who has some health issues that has been in the league 4 or 5 years already. And everything's going to be okay. I'm sorry. The Texans are living proof why you need a general manager. And they are going through the last couple of off seasons with the idea that we don't need that. No, you do because of all the mistakes you've made. And I guarantee you Deshaun Watson, when he found out about that trade, was like, wait, we did what? There's no way they can't take a step back with that happening.
Completely agree. I like some of the things they brought in. I trust Deshaun Watson implicitly. Like, we've almost gotten to the reverse problem where Houston for so many years was searching for a quarterback with talent all around and incredible defense. And now they've got their franchise quarterback. They've got one of the best in the league and they can't seem to hold on to anything else. The situation well documented with Jadeveon Clowney in the past and letting him go, not necessarily replacing that production on D.
I mean, just think at one point you had the top three, put them wherever you want, receiver in the league, and you had bookends of J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
And obviously other talent there. They have underachieved overall, thinking where they could go, even though they've been in the playoffs and won the division, because a lot of people look at division as kind of an division. I have a tough time arguing with this because you lose.
That's because it's brilliant.
You lose Hopkins, and that old line still worries me.
Yeah.
So.
All right, we move on.
Number two.
And I think this is going to shock some people. I have the Tennessee Titans at number two in this division.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. This order is the exact order I wrote down. It doesn't shock me at all. The Tennessee Titans seem like a team primed for regression in all this, right? We all loved the resurgence of Ryan Tannehill after what his time in Miami was.
Why regression? Why?
Just because, I mean, it's so
gross. Do it again.
It's so grossly outperformed what we expected. Being able to make a living in a very downhill, not creative running attack like the ones we've seen from Baltimore and San Fran seems like a tough way to go about business. And so all of it just seems like they could take a step back in all this. At the same time, the number one team in this division got a big bump.
Right. And real quickly on the Titans, you have Jack Conklin gone, Logan Ryan gone, defensive lineman Jarrell Casey gone. Yeah. So there's a lot there. Mm-hmm. I love Mike Vrabel and love what he's doing. But I'm going to need to see it again from Ryan Tannehill and company. And that means at number one.
Number one.
And again, part of this is going against what I believe is going to be the most difficult thing for all teams this offseason is a team with a new quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Colts. I love almost everything the Colts did this offseason. They get Phillip Rivers to be the new quarterback there. They draft Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor. My God, Jonathan Taylor running behind that revamped offensive line.
And you still have Quentin Marlon Mack.
You still have Marlon Mack there. And then they get DeForest Buckner in that trade with the San Francisco 49ers. Literally, I'm not sure anyone had a better offseason than the Indianapolis Colts.
It all works together so well. You're right with the addition. They were all perfectly on brand for this team's identity. And then you get the reunion of Frank Reich and Phillip Rivers on top of that. It all goes in the right direction. And I think we undervalue that in the NFL. So many teams you see that seem to be pulling in opposite directions, the way they make personnel moves, the way that they work and build around their quarterbacks. This team has a sure identity, and they've continued to add to it.
Tough to argue with what they've added. They have one of the best O-lines, forget the division, in the league. And we know Houston doesn't. And Texas, the Titans lost a big one in Conklin at the right tackle position. So great solidarity there on that offensive line with what they can bring. So very tough to argue. Very tough to argue on that. And it was only three games that separated first to third last year, with the Colts being 7-9 and the Texans being 10-6.
Yeah, look, team construct is so important. It's what the Ravens do very well. Chris Ballard, the general manager of the Colts, has done a remarkable job with this franchise. And I think you're really going to see that payoff this year. Coming up, he said we were in the deal zone, but we're still back to sucking. We'll talk to our next guest about that. Where are you, Jeff Passan? Didn't happen.